נעצר יחד נתבקש לא נלך אם לא נרצה יחד נתעקש תחת עץ צעד צעדי
Hello and welcome to the Third Opinion Uncensored, where we are allowed to speak openly about health, public health, wellness and censorship. Today we will be interviewing Naomi Cook, who is a former registered nurse and a health safe technology activist. She surrendered her nursing registration so she could publicly work publicly in the safe tech and 5G awareness space after the Australian Nursing Council told her she was going against the nursing code of conduct to speak out publicly against 5G. She regularly presents publicly and posts about the health effects of wireless technology, as well as sharing safe tech solutions with her following on social media. She has recently co-authored a paper published in a peer-reviewed scientific journal on the health effects of wireless tech and implications for healthcare professionals. Oh, tech issues. Here we are in our new studio and just trying to get Naomi on the phone. Hey, Sam.
I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Oh, I can hear you. We're just in our new studio, so this is our first time playing with this system. So apologies to the listeners. And hello, Naomi.
How you doing?
Is she sounding loud enough? Yeah, turn up. Okay. I'm well, thank you. And yeah, calling from Melbourne, and you're up in Sydney, are you?
Yes, I am.
Okay. We did a little bit of an intro, but really I'd love to start off with you telling us all about yourself and a little bit about your background and why you became interested in this, well, sometimes very controversial subject.
I know it is. Well, there's a personal story behind it, as there is in many cases like this. When people start speaking publicly about something, there's usually a personal story. And in my case, it was actually my oldest daughter's brain tumors that got me into this in a roundabout way. Yeah, she was diagnosed with a giant brain tumor when she was 5 and had surgery to remove it. She was left with quite significant health fallout. But when the tumor grew back 2 years after the first one was removed, I had to ask myself, you know, what can I change in our environment that may help her stand a better chance of not having another regrowth? I just thought it just made sense. You know, something in her body must be in a state of imbalance for it to keep coming back. What can I do to change things to maybe improve her chances of not facing another regrowth? And so, I thought.
So yeah, Naomi, let me just wind back. So the tumor that she had, was that something that was treatable at the time, like, or was?
Yeah, it was a giant tumor and had it's called locally malignant, that it invades a few areas of the brain. Mm-hmm. And so it was surgery that we used to treat it, to take it out. Mm-hmm. But I was registered nurse back then, but it kind of made sense to me that, you know, why was it there in the first place? What had gone wrong in her body for it to... So I was asking those sorts of questions. So I was obviously thinking a little bit out of the box. Mm. But it was when it came back that I thought, look, I need to take some serious action here, because she's going to be at lifelong risk of regrowth. And what can I do to improve her chances? And we were living in a high-rise apartment in Bondi Junction at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, very removed from nature. Like, I was just going back to looking at, you know, what's natural, what's healthy, and what's unnatural. And you know, so obviously being in a high-rise apartment, far from the ground, surrounded by electronics, you know, Wi-Fi routers galore, and
how many Wi-Fi routers would there have been in that building?
There were would have been hundreds.
Wow. Yeah, and I guess this has never happened before, has it? This is all new. This is our brave new world of being exposed to things that haven't yet been tested and not really following a precautionary principle approach. Was there any evidence at the time that there were problems with that? Like, was there any link between cancer growths and the Wi-Fi or the sort of environment that you were in?
I'm trying to think what year the biggest study on mobile phone usage or exposure, was done in the States. But there was a study done, and it may have been done by then in the States, and that was done on rats and exposure to mobile phone signals. And it was a 2-year, very expensive study, cost over $20 million. And the rats did get cancer. Well, the male rats got particular types of cancers. So that study, and I'm not quite sure when it was published, I'd have to double check, but I obviously wasn't delving into that at that point in time. For me, it was more of a gut feeling. What can I do that could be healthier? You know, so I was driven to leave that building just because I felt unhealthy to be in it.
So even though you weren't being told by any doctors or medical experts at that time that there were problems. Yeah. And what year was this? What was this?
So the first tumor was removed 2014. The regrowth was 2016.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So not so long ago. Okay.
Not that long.
Yes. Mm. So you made these changes, and what's happened to her health since then?
Well, yeah, I mean, she's doing good. We live in a house, we've got a big garden, we do a lot of things for her health. And it was moving to this house that I thought, you know what, I should get a building biologist in to just check the house. And so that was
Could you explain what a building for our listeners? I've been lucky enough to experience a building biologist, but could you just explain a little bit in detail? Because I imagine that some of the people listening, this is all very new to them. Yeah. And maybe they, you know, and the thing is, of course, we get the public health messaging, it's all safe, it's all fine, when, of course, you know, there's no way of knowing really, and what we're really looking for are signs and data that might indicate if there is a risk. How do we know, and how do we also protect ourselves if there is a risk that we don't want to take? So tell me about the building biologist. Yes.
Yes. So we're lucky here in Australia that some individuals are trained in something called building biology, and they're trained to look at a number of things in a living space or a workspace to assess for potential health risks. But what I was interested in specifically was electric fields, magnetic fields, and radio frequency, which is basically what the Wi-Fi, the Bluetooth, and the cell phone towers emit. Mm-hmm. So electromagnetic fields in general. I wanted to get the house checked to make sure the beds weren't, you know, next to electrical field or magnetic fields, and obviously to make sure that there was no radio frequency field coming in the house from something down the street. Mm-hmm. So that's basically building biology.
Mm-hmm. And what did they find?
My house was pretty good. Mm-hmm. And so that comforted me. And that was, I suppose, what kind of, I shelved the interest for a couple of years. But it was that introduction to it that really ignited my interest in 5G, which started at the beginning of 2019.
Okay, so you're seeing the next level of cell phone towers come in, and you're worried that the fact that they're just, you know, pumping out a different type of radio frequency, and that it's obviously much stronger because things go much faster, or at least in some way it's stronger. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
Yep.
What did you find, and what was your next step in this journey?
Yes. Well, I guess my first concern beginning of 2019 was that it actually hasn't had biological safety testing for all its proposed range of frequencies, pulsations, and nanopulsations. So 5G is a word to describe a band of frequencies between roughly 8 to 10 gigahertz and 300. So if you wanted to test 5G, that word, for safety, you'd have to test the entire proposed range. So I think right now 5G is being pumped out at 26 gigahertz, but then there's the question of pulsations and nanopulsations, which a physicist would know more about. We just know that these radio waves, radio frequencies, are used at a certain frequency and may pulsate differently. And those different pulsations can have different biological effects. So I was aware that it was going to be deployed without this extensive safety testing, but also sandwiching with the current 3G and 4G, mm-hmm. which is something else completely different. So anyone who's got some kind of medical background will understand that, you know, when you add something to a patient's protocol, you may not know what the biological effects are compounded if you're adding different medications. So in this instance, it is being added to something that's already there. And has it been tested for what happens biologically when it is added to what we already have? Well, no, it hasn't.
Yeah. So no one's really done the tests of putting a 3G, 4G and 5G together and then seeing what happens to the rat, or in this case, the human rat.
Good.
So that hasn't
exactly.
That hasn't been done. And it sounds like it's going to take an army of mothers like yourself to sort of push for some more information. So what was the next step then? So you're starting to ask questions. Who are you asking the questions of, and who's giving you answers?
Well, I suppose, I mean, I started sharing information about it on my social media, and there was an explosion in 2019 of people who were aware that this was happening. It was incredible. Globally, groups just sprung up. It was a phenomenal year for 5G awareness. And so there was a lot of emailing in that year to councils, to government. I mean, I met that year with the Minister of Communications and Cyber Safety, who was Paul Fletcher back then. You know, we did a lot of trying to raise awareness, writing, and there was a parliamentary inquiry that everybody wrote in for as well, to say, look, let's pause the rollout, adopt the precautionary principle. But it obviously, none of it worked because 5G is everywhere right now.
What was the tipping point? Was there some change in policy? Like, what was the tipping point where suddenly this could just happen without any oversight that you would be happy with?
Well, I mean, like, as in, how did 5G get authorized, do you mean? Or
yeah, like, at what level of government did they say, just go for it? And there was...
You know what? Who knows? Who knows?
Yes.
But on my digging back in 2019, I just was digging one day. Those hours that get lost when you're online. Mm-hmm. And I found an old parliamentary inquiry from 20 years prior that was also asking similar questions. It could have been about mobile phones or 3G. I'm not sure what it was, or who knows, 2G back then. Mm-hmm. But at that time, there were scientists actually lobbying the government,
really?
Or potentially politicians, saying that mobile phones,
yeah.
And bearing in mind, this was dumb phones back then. They were saying mobile phones needed a health and safety warning on them.
Yeah. And I remember there was something actually in the pack at the time where it was told you have to keep it a certain amount of centimeters from your head, and and they would give you the there was a rating, wasn't there? That called the rating that told you how much
SARS.
It's taken on a whole new world. With SARS now means something else, doesn't it? But and I used to do that. I would go and I would buy a phone and check. And always buy the one that had the lowest one. And then came along the iPhone, hey? And we didn't have much choice because we wanted to have the most sexy technology. And there was also, was it Charlie Teo, the brain surgeon who was speaking out against mobile phones? And then smeared for saying negative things about the link between mobile phones and acoustic neuromas, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-mm. So all of that sort of was in the past, and now it sounds like things are just being pushed through. I was lucky enough to hear you speak a couple of days ago, so that's how I got you here. And one of the things that you mentioned was about, you know what happens in your local council, whether there's any approval processes, and you were mentioning that they're just building these towers everywhere. Do you want to just talk a little bit about what is happening now?
Yes. In fact, council will say that they have no power over it, which is crazy because the utility poles that many of these new little mini masts are going on are council property. I emailed my local council and I said, are you renting the poles to the telcos? And are you insured then for health effects that could occur in but they didn't reply to my email. Honestly, they're so pathetic. But they basically, they say they have no power over it. which is very, very odd considering the utility poles do belong to the council.
So at the moment, so I remember when the 4G towers, there used to be those long, big things, and we could look up and see them and recognise them. Are you saying that they're now, they look different?
There are some, definitely, I mean, already 4G has been available on some smaller antennas.
Right.
Those small white ones were around in 2019 on some utility poles, but because 4G does travel further than 5G, there wouldn't need to be as many, but 5G doesn't travel as far. The waves don't travel as far as the 4G, so they need to have them placed more densely. So you're potentially looking at, you know, every 100 meters.
Okay.
So potentially.
What do I worry about? I'm a parent and a grandparent, and, you know, there's a 4G tower, looks like across the road from my family. What do I do, and what do I worry about, and what can I do to protect myself? And I want to know the difference between 4G and 5G. Is it the same thing that we would do? What would the building biologist want me to do?
Yes. Yes. I mean, basically, you want to keep your house as an area that is as low as possible in terms of the electromagnetic radiation. You want to keep it in a green zone, not a hot zone.
What does that mean, a green zone? That means grass will grow there, or...?
Like, yeah, basically that anything can grow, humans too.
Yeah.
But yes, basically as low as possible. And there is a couple of ways that you can suss. I mean, obviously, if you've got a cell phone tower in front of your house, then and you can't move, then I personally would recommend getting someone professional in to help you shield the home. Mm-hmm. Because and there are things that you can do to lower the levels in your house and to sort of make sure, for example, that the bedrooms in particular mm-hmm. are safe to sleep in, because that's at night, that's when you repair the most and you want to give your body the best chance to mitigate and buffer what it's exposed to during the day. So if it was me and I had one in front of my house and I couldn't move, mm-hmm. then I would get someone professional in to help 100% and look at shielding options.
So they're coming in and they've got some sort of way of testing the amount of radiation?
Yes.
What do they do? Like, what would be unsafe and what's a safe level?
Well, basically the government would say it's all safe. So the government say that we are protected from being cooked, or basically we're protected from thermal effects from these things. So the government, and anything that we are exposed to, anything, will have passed the safety standards put forward by the government. So they
so if I'm so I if I'm one of those people that trust my government after COVID, I'll turn off the radio now and say, don't be ridiculous. But if I'm someone who's maybe a little bit has become more and more circumspect, and that we are seeing this growing amount of cancer, and we are seeing the impact not just on humans but on other living creatures as well. What would I be looking at beyond the thermal effects? So the government is saying it's not going to make it hotter in your house. What could it be doing instead? Because heat is not the only form of energy being transferred from these devices.
That's right. That's right. So what the Building Biology group is concerned with, and what thousands of doctors and scientists globally are concerned with, are the pre-thermal biological effects. And I mean, there are thousands of studies that have found biological changes that
thousands.
Occur.
Not just
thousands. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Yes. Thousands of studies. Yeah, thousands of studies, basically. And you can find these studies online. There are a couple of places where you can go if science interests you.
Yeah.
But
Where would you? Because I think that for people to do their own research, if they are interested and understand science, I think that's a good starting point to affirm what you're saying. What would be a good website?
So I love going to the bioinitiativereport.org, the bioinitiative report. They update their sort of catalogue of studies that have found biological harm on a yearly basis. I'm pretty sure it's yearly. They did an update that ended in June last year. And so they add to their database studies that have found harm. And then here in Australia, we're lucky to have ORSA. ORSA is, let me just read out the...
O-R-S-A, is that?
Yes. O-R-S-A-A.
Okay.
And it stands for the Oceania Radio Frequency Scientific Advisory Association.
Oceanic Radio Frequency.
Scientific Advisory Association.
That's hard to. Okay.
I know.
ORSA dot what dot org.
Yes. ORSAA.
Double A. Okay.
Yes.
Dot something. I'll look it up. and just for the listeners, you're listening to JA Radio, and this is the Third Opinion Uncensored podcast, and we are speaking with Naomi Cook, who is discussing the possible issues that we could have with the many mobile phone towers around us and the safety of our environment, and how we could work to protect ourselves from the type of things that we cannot see, and maybe work out ways that we can measure it and know the things that hopefully will keep us safe and healthy. Go ahead. So yeah. ORSAA.org. We're going to look it up.
Could be .org. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have a very large database of studies. Again, so I think they have about, they've got 4,000 peer reviewed publications, I think. Or they've got, but they've got a lot. So they've got a webinar on their site for how to access the database as well.
Okay. And podcasts. And they've even got podcasts, Bumping into the Unknown of 5G and Wi-Fi. So there is physicist Victor Leach covers how the current safety standards were reached, when they were designed, and what they mean in today's modern 5G world for you and the risks they may carry. So that's great. So if people can check that out, if you want more details, to orsaa.org. And there's a podcast link there. Thank you. So ORSA, and then there's the other option is the bioinitiativereport.org. Okay, so that's where people can go. What will they find if they bother to read the 4,000 reports that you've seen?
Because even a quick Google search, like in looking through like PubMed, can bring up stuff. And one study will lead to another, will lead to another. Mm-hmm. But basically, there are many biological effects that we can see at the prethermal levels. Just to list a few: changes to fertility, changes to testes.
Wow.
Testosterone. Yeah.
So it changes your hormones. You're saying it changes hormone levels?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. There's changes to fertility. Yes. There are oxidative damage to DNA. So it doesn't damage the DNA like ionizing radiation can instantly damage it, but through oxidative stress can damage the DNA. Neurocognitive changes. Difficult disruptions to sleep through impacting melatonin.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of any more that's like.
Well, and obviously the things that lead to potentially. The oxidative damage could lead to cancers. Is that the link there?
That's right.
Yeah.
Cancer is obviously a link, because I mentioned that study earlier about the mice that was done in the States. But the oxidative stress is the biggie, actually. And that's the one that I usually do try and explain to people. Because if you do have oxidative stress, which is basically, we all generate oxidative stress during the day anyway, but if you're creating too much of it, the body isn't able to subdue it and mitigate it. And because this type of radiation does cause a lot of it, if you're not able to mitigate it, then that will lead to inflammation and disease can follow. And that disease may be unique to your genetics or other things in your environment anyway.
So it could be something more autoimmune versus a cancer. It could have a wide range of impacts on the body because of the inflammatory
outcomes. Exactly.
So it's not very specific. It can be general, and sometimes people are unaware that these environmental factors are impacting how they feel, and they might be looking in other places when in fact it's coming from something quite simple and something very physical and something that you can actually make a difference in terms of its influence on you. So let's just say that you've done your research and you're become aware. What do you then next, if you don't want to, how much is a building biologist? Is that like a $400? How much would it cost to get someone to come out?
It was so long ago that I did that and I don't know. And like you say, it is an expense. Yeah. I mean, you could join, like tech aware groups on Facebook for people's opinions too. Like we all help each other. With Australians for Safe Technology, is a Facebook group.
For Safe Technology, okay. A Facebook group, okay.
Yes.
I'd love to do it with everyone else in my street, and so maybe we can share the costs and have a building biologist come out and tell us about what's going on, so that we would know as a community. That might be one way to do it, so that it's not as expensive, and then also then people could then maybe want to work together to try and create a more protected environment.
Yes, love that.
They come out and they measure and they tell you you're being irradiated. What's the word? You're being radio frequencied. You're being magnified.
Yes.
Being
zapped.
You're being zapped. Okay. What do you do next? Okay. So let's just start with the simple things. Okay. So
simple things. Yeah. Yeah, because you obviously the tower across the road is bad news, but within the home is where we all need to start anyway. And there are things that we can all do today, tonight, to reduce our exposure, which is quite empowering. So turning off the Wi-Fi at night is an excellent first thing to do, because then you are literally reducing your exposure by, a certain percentage through doing that. So that's a great idea. Considering ditching the Wi-Fi completely. So if you can get a modem where the Wi-Fi can be turned off, but obviously you need to turn it on. Updates often need to occur through Wi-Fi, so you need to have a button that you can push on. But keeping the Wi-Fi off and going back to the Ethernet cables that we used to use 20 years ago before we had Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And gamers know that Ethernet connection is way better than Wi-Fi connection anyway.
Absolutely. Okay, so it does cost a bit, but I had someone come and they ran Ethernet cables through the house into different rooms so that we could do that. But nonetheless, with laptops, you just want to move.
I mean, my Ethernet cables are really messy and loose over the house. I never got round to plugging them onto the wall like you did. That's so organized.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that they're loose, because then if I want to move my laptop, wire is loose, so I can just move it around.
Okay. Yeah. So you just have a whole bunch of Ethernet cable fittings through the house, and you can then just run it like the old telephone cords. I used to have one of those 30-meter telephone cords, so I could walk around the house with a telephone. Yeah.
See?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I get that. Okay. So that's number two, is taking the next step is to try to actually get rid of the Wi-Fi altogether. But then you could be having your neighbor's Wi-Fi, coming in anyway. So what's the next step then?
Yes. I mean, in my home, I've got a meter that reads radio frequency EMR. So it's a meter that you can get online, and I'm not saying everybody should get one, but they are really useful, because then you can spot what else in your house is giving off signal. So I've got, when I turn on my computer, the Wi-Fi is always disabled, but if I want to turn it on for some reason, I can see my neighbor's Wi-Fi routers coming up, but my meter is always green. So even though my computer can pick up the building biology standards, they have their own standards for what they would say is acceptable or not acceptable. So on these meters, the green light would mean it's acceptable. So just because your neighbor does have Wi-Fi, you still may be able to get an appropriate or acceptable living environment.
So if you see that it's red, you might move to another room. Is that the sort of thing that you're doing? You're responding to the amount of EMFs around you by moving yourself to somewhere where your meter has got an acceptable level?
Yes, so if I for sleep, for example, I would want to make sure that the bedrooms are green, and then if downstairs, during the day it's orange, medium exposure, there's actually a little booklet that comes with my own meter, and it says green is acceptable and safe to sleep in, medium is the orange color, limit your time in this area, and then you've got high and you've got extreme, so there's a bit of guidance there.
So this this meter, I have an old style one from probably 20 years ago, and it just has I remember it used to go between 0 and 3, and now when I turn it on, it goes between 3 and 100, and it used to be within the 0 to 3 range 20 years ago. And now that's just not even possible to get something under 3. So it's just I think I need to upgrade my meter because it's really not able to, it's working at a much lower level perhaps.
Yeah.
What's the type of – where would I get one? If I was going to buy one, where would I go for that?
So you can get the meter that I've got. It's just super simple and I love it. And you can get them from a website called Safer – Tech, it's S-A-F-E-R, mm-hmm. tech.com.au.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So cool. They do sell.
Do you have a discount code? Can we get a discount code?
I do.
Code? Oh, really?
I do.
Oh,
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah. Well, because my Facebook name is Tinkerbell, former fairy. So it's Tinker.
So hang on. So that's /Tinker. Is that the kind of thing we do? Or do we put
it? Tinker.
Tinker. And we put that in as a discount code or?
Yes.
Okay. Discount code, Tinker, capital.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you. Excellent. So if I wanted to get that, I'm just going to go into the website now.
Yes.
And order one for all my family. There you go. And so then we've got that. All right. So I've got my meter and everywhere's red, right?
Yeah.
I work from home. I'm on Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Yes.
What do I do next?
Yes.
And my bedrooms are red, and I can't tell my neighbors to all leave the building.
Yes. So next, you need to look at your phone. So if you can, your smartphone, if you just turn off the Wi-Fi setting, turn off the Bluetooth setting, and then flick your phone onto flight mode. Obviously, we need to use our phones to communicate, but we don't need to have them on all the time. So if your phone's with you all day and you don't really need to have it on because you don't need to check in with your phone right now, turning off those two settings, the Wi-Fi and the Bluetooth, will reduce what it's giving out. And obviously, flicking it onto the flight mode will actually make it very safe to be around. Then you need to check your messages. So you flick off the flight mode and let the 4G signal bring in whatever messages you want and do that and then flick it back off again.
And if I keep the Wi-Fi on when I've got the flight mode off, I could still get sort of WhatsApp.
It still gives off,
WhatsApp and other messages through the existing Wi-Fi network anyway.
Well, in that case, you're going to be still getting as much EMR as before.
I'm just trying to understand. Yes. So if I turn off the mobile part, but the Wi-Fi is still on because I'm in an environment where the Wi-Fi is on around me, like in the studio at the moment, if my phone's on Wi-Fi, does it make any difference? I'm already in the Wi-Fi environment, correct?
Yes, that's right. I mean, there'd probably be no point if you're already surrounded by high tech, EMR.
Yeah.
There's probably very little point, you know. So, it's more for when you're at home, how to create a safe space for your family and just one by one crossing off the list all the sources that you can cross off.
Okay. So we're putting the phone onto flight mode as much as possible, and that probably would really help people be more focused as well, I imagine.
Oh, yes.
That would probably take away some of the oxidative stress just by doing that.
Exactly.
Next step. So what else can I do? Okay, so I'm still seeing that, you know, my child's room is red at night. Yeah. And how do I protect a young child, baby, someone who I imagine is more vulnerable to?
Yes.
Is that right?
They are.
They are?
Yes.
Why is that?
So you just need to their brains are not fully developed.
Mm.
Their skulls are thinner. So they're at a greater risk and they're just smaller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you need to make sure that there's not any devices in the bedroom that could be giving off. So things that you're not, you know, thinking about, like obviously baby monitors can give off.
Baby monitors.
Oh, yeah, baby monitors,
yes.
Speakers, anything Bluetooth will give off. So I don't have Bluetooth in my house at all. It's completely banned. So anything Bluetooth, some things, even if they're not turned on, but they're plugged in, if they have a Wi-Fi capability, like some smart device, washing machine or something, it can give off signaling if it's plugged in. So if you unplug as much as you can and you find that will bring levels down.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. in the house.
Okay, so I just want to talk about the baby monitor, because there is actually one baby monitor that has low EMF, and I know because I bought it recently, and you know it was you know a big thing to think about. Is there anything that would be you know, is there a safer way to do it? Because when I heard about the high EMF of baby monitors, yeah. that the babies are next to it all day long. So it's called the Bebcare, BEBCARE, Bebcare Low EMF Baby Monitor. And that's one there's audio ones, but this one has got both the audio and the video, because I think a lot of parents now, they're so used to seeing the baby all the time, mm-hmm. and you know, they mightn't be happy with that. But that's got a 5 out of 5 rating from the emfacademy.com.
Wow.
So that's what I, yeah, and they only came out in the last few years, but it was great to know that that was an option. It's definitely expensive, but certainly good for any parent or grandparent that wants to take the precautionary approach to this. So yes, okay. So we want to unplug our smart TVs. We want to unplug our smart everything, from what you're saying, so that we yep. reduce the background noise.
Yep.
And I guess if we have a meter, that we could be testing that, and you know, because it really sounds like it's an ongoing experiment, isn't it? That we have to yep. keep on checking in on all that. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm doing that. How do I? So it's coming in. They've put this, and I was in a conference a few weeks ago, and Professor Mark Cohen, was speaking, and he was together with Nicole, who runs the She runs the Building Biologist
yes.
School, which is it just in Victoria, the Building Biologist training, or is it around the country?
I'm actually not sure.
Well, there is a place that you can do courses, and you can do courses here. And Nicole is amazing. She sort of set up this school in Victoria, and her last name is Bisgama. Very difficult. Bijama. Anyway, but there are places that you can actually go and become trained in this area if you are interested. But they come and do all this. But say that you are. So she was speaking, and Mark was there, and this woman puts up her hand and she said, "I live at home with my two children, and I just saw them, the workman there." So she didn't actually, I don't think there was any notification of it, and they're putting a 5G tower, mm-hmm. you know, 10 meters from my child's bedroom. So, mm-hmm. and she was so distressed, and, you know, one response was, "Just move." And she's mm-hmm. like, I can't, you know, my life is here, and I've bought this house, and etc. Another response was to talk about ways to block it. So maybe you can talk a little bit about what are the physical ways to try and block that 5G tower.
Yeah. And yeah, so first of all, I would always get professional help with that, mm-hmm. because yeah. you just want to make sure that you're not creating if you get mesh to block it out. You want to make sure you're not increasing what's happening on the inside as a result, and creating like a microwave inside the house if you're not turning off your tech or aware that you need. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, so let's just explain the Faraday cage effect, maybe, if you can
yes.
explain a little bit about that.
If you're getting something to block what's coming in from the outside, that would be amazing. But then if you have the whole house covered in that, and then you've got tech on the inside that you forget to turn off at night, you may end up having these signals, like a ricochet effect.
Yeah.
Going around and intensifying, because they're not then dispersing into the brick.
It's like when you're using a mobile phone in the car, people say.
Yes,
that then
exactly.
It's
exactly.
Because it's metal and
it's
increased. Okay. All right. So.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So
yes. So it's not like if you're in that situation, like, it would be definitely worth paying out for a professional, because you want to get the readings checked after you've put you know, your fabrics up, or your blocking paint and your window films, all of which you can buy. You just want to make sure that you've achieved what you want, because it's a huge financial investment to do something like that.
Right.
So it would be definitely worth getting a professional into.
I've got this scene here from who's working on the desk here, and his face is... Do you have something to ask?
Hello, Eva. Hello. Look, we're surrounded.
We're here in the studio.
We have to hoist the white flag. It's especially sitting in a radio studio with all the EMF around here. And let alone going home to it all and switching everything off. It's a sad state of affairs, I'm afraid.
Let's talk about clothing or things that we can put on ourselves, because I know that, I was checking out, there's these little beanies that you can wear on babies. I bought some copper fabric, which I am yet to use, but I think about that as a blanket. Tell me about those things, because I see that you get caught up in just taking care of the basics, that you forget about all these invisible influences, and you almost need to sort of have enough space to think about it and a plan, an action plan.
Yeah,
so, tell me about how can we help Sian and those wonderful people at JA Radio who are making it all happen here in this little Faraday cage.
I reckon, like right now, I'm actually, because I'm on my phone, and normally I would do meetings via my computer with an Ethernet cable so that I don't get zapped.
Yeah, yes,
but
sorry.
I'm using my phone. I'm actually wearing a beanie right now, and I'm sitting behind a silver blanket while I'm doing this.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I am, because, okay, so if you know you're going to be exposed because you've got to go to work, and earn money, what you could do is you could actually invest in some EMF blocking clothing. And there's loads online. Some are cooler than others. Mm-hmm. Some are not very cool. But if you're wearing like a vest and you could put it underneath your clothing, that would be a start, just to get like an undervest.
So there's EMF fashion now.
yeah. It's not quite fashionable yet. I was just saying to my kids today, I need to design some funky clothing.
Yeah.
Because like what's available is not that cool.
Oh, my goodness. I'm interested. I did do a little bit of fashion design at one point. That sounds like a fun thing. That's a really fun thing to do.
The funny thing is, Eva, that our friends in the Orthodox community have been wearing protective clothing for centuries with their prayer shawls.
Yeah.
So maybe.
Yeah, you could have like them made out of a different fabric. So that's really interesting. A talus, a EMF protected talus. Wow,
I love it.
I think we're onto something. Oh my god, I'm sorry. This is going out to everyone, because now the idea is out there. So maybe it's it will happen.
It'll make everybody healthier.
Yeah. So So EMF fashion. So is it just the fabric? How many? I know there's also EMF paint, but what you're saying is with the paint, you have to be careful because you don't want to create a Faraday effect in your house. Mm-hmm. And but if you put it on the exterior wall, so say if there's a 5G tower across the road, and then you paint just that wall, would that be enough? Like, does it get around things, or does it have a direct line of sight? You know what I'm saying? Beyond, you know, through walls, like Superman with the X-ray vision. Is it kind of?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually don't know like the direction of the waves. I feel like they're actually a bit chaotic. I don't think it's like a straight line. I'm not quite sure where I read that once.
Yes. Okay.
But
we can do a little bit of research into this, because I think it's a really interesting topic. But if you're wearing it, then you know you're at least protecting your organs, because ultimately all you are trying to protect is your organs. So you can wear your Spider-Man, your EMF radiation-safe Spider-Man suit with your talus,
of course.
But if you're wearing a vest, you're wearing a beanie or some sort of hat, maybe you've got a EMF protector on your mobile phone. I think I've got this on – well, actually, no, that's – I changed phones, so now my EMF protecting case is gone. Under your computer, like, where is there a place, like, what's the best place to find this range of tools?
There's there's quite a lot. If you just did a Google and you put like, there's loads of different brands, and each one, you know, be slightly, just be worth having a Google around EMF protective clothing. But like with the phone case, I think if the phone is still able to connect to Wi-Fi, obviously I'm hoping it's been turned off by now, but or the Bluetooth is on, or you're still able to send and receive calls and texts, then the protective case can't really be doing that much, because the whole point is if the phone can still communicate with the cell phone tower, then there must still be signal going between the two. So I would say switch it onto flight mode with Bluetooth and Wi-Fi switched off. Then you know that you are protected. Otherwise, if it is still functioning, then there's still EMR.
And how about this? I've also got, I'm into tech. I've got this little round disc attached to the back of my phone, and it's very pretty, but does it do anything?
Yeah, I love, so in my public presentations, I didn't do this with our presentation a few days ago, but in my public presentations, I always discuss like these little gadgets, and there's like, there's jewelry, there's equipment, there's stickers and dots for the phones. There's so much stuff out there. They're all very, very expensive. And people say, well, do they work? And they say, look, I'm safe because I've got this dot on my phone. To actually properly test it would really, you'd have to look at a range of things. I mean, like, i.e. pre-exposure, pre-usage oxidative stress levels in any one individual, and then to have like the same exposure to tech, you know, during the period of using that thing, and then testing, like, you, it would be quite extensive testing to really figure out if it's safe. And so I don't think we can actually say whether or not they're doing anything without really extensive testing, and some have done certain tests, but again, I wouldn't be convinced, because they are quite expensive, these things.
Okay, mine was expensive, but it did tell me that it works. I mean, it looked like there was enough research, but I don't want to talk about that, because I really don't know. But if we just bought this copper fabric I bought, is that, I can see that there are much cheaper ways to do it. So if you have, you know, if you are crafty and you can create your own things, is that all you need to do personal protection? Because really all they are products that are made with certain protective materials, correct?
Yeah, there's quite a lot of, most of them are silver threaded. So I think again on the safertech.com.au website, they do sell fabric.
One? Which one did you say?
Safertech, the one you can get the reader off. I bought some fabric off them recently in meters for my daughter's classroom at school to try and block the Wi-Fi from the other classroom. But I think they sell other fabric too, that you potentially, if you're creative, you might be able to make something.
Okay, I'm looking at that. Right, so and is there anything else in your little... there was that one other thing someone mentioned in that meeting the other day, wasn't it, about turning off the smart meter in your house. So that was, I thought, very interesting. Someone referred to the fact that you could actually get your smart meter turned to a 4A instead of a 4, and that there is the option for you to then manually report what the amount of electricity you're using without it being irradiating your house all the time. So that was apparently part of that's a government
advocate, policy. I wouldn't advocate anybody playing with their meters.
No. That's you could actually call your local council.
Speak to a professional.
But they would have to change your meters, I believe. Or there is a way, there is one meter where you can actually turn off the EMF part of it. And so
that's amazing if that's the case.
It was, wasn't it? She seemed very certain. And so there was a doctor on the call who added this, and it was something that none of us knew about. So I'll look more into it. But I'm hoping that maybe we can continue this conversation. Sean, do you think that we could do a part two at a later stage?
Absolutely.
Yes, because...
I'm going home to sew silver and copper clothing now.
Excellent. Maybe Rosie can do paintings, silver and copper paintings, so that to protect the walls.
Protective paintings.
I'd like people who are listening to maybe send in some ideas, or maybe you have got some products that you would like to sell. And I'd really love to support this, because the last thing I just want to mention is after all of that, I did call the local council, because I did notice that it says that there's a proposal proposed small cell tower moving in across the road from one of my family members, which is very distressing. And what the guy at the council said is that they don't need any planning permit to build to put them on their telegraph poles, as you said. They only have to notify the council, and the council do not need to notify us because there is no planning permit required. So they don't have to there's nothing that we can find out.
The telcos trump anything to do with getting permission. They can't be challenged, basically. It's enshrined in law.
Well, so what he suggested was, and I thought that was very good, he said, why don't you contact the local MP to amend the laws around this? So I thought that was interesting. And then the other thing I thought of was what you mentioned was the legal case that, what was his name, Raymond?
The lawyer. Ray Broomhall
from Tasmania. And he was successful, wasn't he, to an extent, up around... Yeah. Byron Bay, of course, but is it still holding? What happened?
I don't know. And we've got the same problem in some streets near us. Some ladies engaged him, and
can you just explain what? Can you just explain what happened up in Byron?
Beautiful streets near where I live. There were 100 meters apart. Mm-hmm. A proposal for on each utility pole. So three proposals. On each pole would be four 4G masts. Three 4G masts and three 5G masts. So
on one pole, or just you're saying along the street?
On one pole. And then three of them 100 meters apart. And this would be directly outside their bedroom. So these lovely women that I met, they did engage Ray. And initially, the signs on the utility poles were then taken down. Telstra got back to them and said, look, we're going to find alternative locations. So we thought, okay, maybe this has been won. Mm-hmm. Then 3 months later, exactly the same locations, the signs have come back up, and now we're waiting. So I don't know. I don't know if this is going to be successful. I hope to God above it's going to work, but I just don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm just looking here. There was a thing called No5 with number 5gparty.org.au. So it looks like it got political for a while, protecting life and freedom. And I'm not sure how long ago that was, but it says join the party. And I imagine that is a political party, not just a cell phone free party. So maybe we could find out a little bit more about that and do a little bit of research, and maybe we can come back and see whether anyone has had any success. I'd like to follow this story, and I think it's really important that if people are having success, that we can share that with other people, and that people get together and start to advocate, because, you know, whether it's by letterbox drop or, you know, giving information or doing local council information evenings so that people are aware of their choices, or at least aware that they can do things to protect themselves, and maybe the council can work with them on that level instead.
Yeah.
Naomi, thank you so much. This is Naomi Cook. This is we're on the Third Opinion Uncensored on J-Air Radio, 88.0 FM in Melbourne, Australia. And we are coming to the end of the show. Sian, is there anything that you want to say?
I'm shocked.
Shocked is a good response.
I am shocked. I've got to turn everything off.
Yes.
Basically go back 20 years.
Yes.
But I can understand why. It's ridiculous out there, the amount of Wi-Fi everything and smart everything is just obliterating our lives. It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, and I think that maybe in the next show what we can do is present the evidence, because the thing we haven't spoken about is the paper that you've recently written, the peer-reviewed paper that's been published. Yeah?
Yes. That would be great, yeah.
And what's the name of that paper? I think
paper is called Wireless technology is an environmental stressor requiring new understanding and approaches in healthcare.
Something that just rolls off your tongue. Thank you. Thank you very much for all your work and for giving up your nursing career to do this. And let's see what else can happen. If people have something they want to write into us, Sean, where can they contact us if they want to communicate?
Well, one of the easier ways is our web address for that sort of stuff. I suppose info@jair.com.au would be the safest.
J-air.com.au.
But maybe we can get an email address for your show happening at some stage, Eva.
We shall do that, and just any comments and any requests for future shows would be much appreciated. Yes. And thank you so much for spending your time with us, and I hope you enjoyed that show. Thank you very much, Sean.
Thank you, Eva. Thank you, Naomi.
And we're all going to go off now and cover ourselves with alfoil. Was that tin paper?
Alfoil?
Yeah. Tin paper hats. Yeah, wasn't that the...
There's been a roll of alfoil in the bottom drawer of the kitchen for 40 years.
Does that work, Naomi, the tin foil hat story?
Well, they do call us tin foil hatters, but I'm not sure how effective that is.
Okay, it could bounce around. Yeah,
going to Oz is all right with the Tin Man. Okay, all right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, Naomi. Bye. We'll
see
speak
you next
soon.
Week. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
האדמה חמה רועדת, עוד מעט העולם ייעלם, אז כבר לא נמצא את הדרך. לא עושים את העבר עוד לפני הלחם, לא עושים כלום, לא חונים כלום. ילדים כבר רואים מעבר, רואים מעבר, אין שום דבר מעבר. אדם מול חלל כבד, רק אתמול נגע בשמש. איך הימים כבר הופכים ללוט והחבל מתהדק עוד. אלוהים שואלים איך יגיע, ירחם מאוד, ינקה מעט, ישנה פה פתאום את הסדר, יגלה לנו.
פשוט לא יכול. הלילות ארוכים והפחד, לא תדעי לעולם איך בכיתי כמו ילד, לא תרגישי דבר, תשכחי את הדרך לך.
J-Air 88 FM.
Hi, this is Mark Kopolov with a reminder that you can support J-Air by joining as a member at j-air.com.au. Your membership fee of $54 a year will help J-Air maintain its commitment of bringing your community to you.
Hello, this is Graham Kemlow with a quick reminder to tune in to the Travel Writers Show every Wednesday from 5 p.m. We'll not only inform you, but inspire you with stories of food, wine, lifestyle and travel. That's 5 o'clock Wednesday on Melbourne's 88 FM or stream us at j-air.com.au.